Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We are back. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS. Thank you for joining us. Well, the news breaking early this week that movie star Tom Cruise and his wife of just 5 years, Katie Holmes, are getting a divorce. And while it might not be a big surprise to those of you who have seen almost all celebrity couples break up, it was apparently an absolute shock to Mr. Cruise, a divorce that was apparently carefully planned by his soon-to-be ex-wife. To talk about how these kinds of things go down, I'm joined by divorce attorney Brad Friedman. Find him online at meyerandfriedman.com. Brad, thanks for joining us on WILS.
No problem, Michael. How you doing?
Very good. You are down there in Dallas, so thanks for taking some time to join us here in Lansing. So let's talk about what happened here. Katie Holmes apparently made a lot of plans before filing for divorce early this week, including buying her own apartment. How often, tell me, does a spouse approach you with plans of a divorce before they even let their partners know?
Well, it happens quite a bit, and interesting in this case, the buying of the apartment. The key there is that to file for custody, which has to be combined with any divorce case if there's kids, so to have the right to ask for custody, you have to file that in the state where you have lived or where the child has lived for the last 6 months. And so obviously she, in anticipation of this, got this apartment, established residency, and I don't know how long she claims to have lived there. I think she said up to 2 years. I'm sure Tom Cruise will contest that, but she waited the requisite amount of time and filed, and now the issue is whether Tom Cruise will be successful in asking the New York court to decline its jurisdiction based on Katie's conduct.
Is it wise, then, to meet with a divorce attorney and discuss plans before telling a spouse that I want a divorce?
A lot of times, yes, because there could be some issues right away that are important that for us here, we like to, if there's going to be a fight over something, we like to go first. And simply enough, the person who files the case gets to tell their story first in the initial temporary hearing and then, if need be, at the final trial. So just deciding to file could be the strategic move because then you get to tell your story to the judge first.
Now, apparently she's seeking full custody of their daughter, which is viewed as a particularly aggressive approach. Is there any advantage of pursuing a full custody rather than initially saying you want shared custody?
Well, most states now, Texas is one of them, California is one of them, and I understand that New York is not, and that's probably part of the strategy of what she did and why she filed there. But most states, and I'm not sure about Michigan, favor and presume that there should be some kind of joint custody. We call it down here joint managing conservators, but basically a sharing of the powers and duties of being parents. But the big issue in the Tomcat divorce is going to be who has that power of directing the religious training of the child, because that clearly, from all reports, is Katie's big issue, and we know Scientology is important to Tom Cruise, so that'll probably be that power, that duty that they're both going to fight over as to who gets to direct that religious training.
But to actually get full custody, don't you have to show that your former spouse has a very serious character flaw of some kind?
Typically, yes. There have to be some kind of violent behavior, child neglect. So that's why most courts now are telling litigants, nobody is, quote, winning custody. We're just trying to divide up the time. Yes, unless there's something really going on to where a court's going to say, we're putting you at a lesser position than your spouse. You're going to have just visitation, and your ex is going to be the one that has all the other powers and duties. And that's rare unless, like you say, unless there's some kind of abuse or neglect. And from all accounts, nothing rises to that level in the Katie Holmes, Tom Cruise fight. Again, that can be used on her part strategically to then be able to back down and say, okay, I won't seek full custody if you'll at least let me decide her involvement with Scientology.
Essentially, it's an opening bargaining position.
Right.
I'm talking to divorce attorney Brad Friedman. Find him online at meyerandfriedman.com. So what do you think we're in for here with the Cruise machine kicking into high gear when this case goes to court? And this is very different than his divorce from Nicole Kidman. That was one that he did the filing on. Should we expect something explosive here, or does money usually keep all parties cooperative?
from what I hear, the prenup is not that favorable to Katie, and so my guess would be he will be generous in financial settlement way above and beyond the prenup, and in return, he certainly doesn't want Scientology on trial. He doesn't want some of his skeletons, whatever they might be, out in the public. And so my guess would be it'll settle, and he will probably bargain for some involvement with Scientology for their daughter, because they have raised her that way, and this was clearly, I think they got married under the tenets of Scientology, and so he's going to certainly convince Katie and or a judge that the child should continue to have experience with Scientology.
Sure. Okay, let me ask you this. Now, they've got a very different situation than most people have. Katie Holmes was able to go out and buy herself a multi-million dollar apartment. Now, the couples you deal with, if they plan ahead and spring a divorce on a spouse without giving some kind of forewarning, doesn't that lead a spouse to be enraged? And do they even have the option of going elsewhere right away?
Yes, it all could backfire. This could have very easily been, and might still be, but could be a civil, behind-the-scenes settlement, kind of like the Tiger Woods divorce. And who knows? People get upset, and he might be so upset that it sprung on him that he might fight human nature. You know, he might fight harder than he would have otherwise. And again, if Tom Cruise came to our office and explained what happened, we would tell him that we're fairly confident that we could probably convince a New York court that based on Katie's conduct of kind of maybe in the background trying to establish jurisdiction in another state, that the New York court should decline its jurisdiction and the whole case goes back to California. We're, of course, are much more liberal with religious views and probably would be way better off for Tom in settlement negotiations or in the trial.
Tell me, how do you balance this issue with a client who's getting a divorce of what they want and having a quick and least painful experience of divorce? Do you counsel them sometimes when they're pushing for something that, you know what, step back, let this one go, and let's get this done?
Yes, for a couple of reasons. One, if you're an experienced divorce lawyer in your whatever jurisdiction you're in, you know the three or four or so divorce judges and what they tend to do and where they lean, and so you're able to tell a client what you're asking for is very unlikely, or you got a 20% chance of winning, and it's going to cost you X to achieve this, and here's the risk. And so a lot of times you do have them step back, A, legally, to let them know that you don't have a very good chance of winning, and then B, yes, all the time we remind them, hey, you're going to be co-parenting with this soon-to-be ex-spouse forever. There's going to be grandkids. There's going to be weddings. There's going to be all sorts of activities. You're going to be a family, quote unquote, for the next 50 years.
And how often do they listen to reason at that point?
You know, they usually do listen to reason, and I guess the first time they get upset, they forget that reason, and human nature strikes up, and then they want to retaliate. And you kind of really try to remind them, hey, relax. Every time he's a minute late on child support, don't give us a call.
I want to ask you, though, we just have a few minutes left, but you say you know these judges, you know their preferences. In general, is the court system when it comes to divorces now more favorable to women, let's say, than it was in the past, maybe even now more so than they are to men?
No, I would say, in fact, the opposite, that more and more judges are saying you don't win just because you're the mom. In fact, in Texas, it's in our family code that gender is not a reason for a spouse to win custody. So it's really what's in the best interest of the child, what's been the status quo going in before we've come to court, and if it's been a Mr. Mom, a stay-at-home dad, he's going to win, just like if the mother's been the stay-at-home mom taking care of the kids. So in reality, I think that gender has played less and less. It's just really who's been the primary caretaker of the child and who is in the best interest for the child for that party to have primary custody.
How often do you think people go to divorce attorneys when they really should be going to mediators? Now, mediators can still work out a divorce, but they do so in situations that are more civil. Do you recommend that sometimes, and do you think people should be more aware of this path?
Absolutely. In fact, that's funny you should mention that, because that's what we're doing in my practice. We're doing mediations, and we're trying to convince potential clients to mediate first. All the Texas courts and most jurisdictions will require mediation anyway. So go to mediation. You might settle the whole case, and now you can hire an uncontested divorce lawyer and pay maybe $500 to have the entire divorce done. Even if you don't settle the entire case, you might limit the issues down to one or two. And again, it could be a very cost-effective, inexpensive divorce. So we recommend highly that people consider, let's say they've gone to marriage counseling, it hasn't worked, well then try to mediate the potential issues. You might find out that you don't have any issues, that we agree mom's going to have custody of the child and dad's going to pay child support.
About 30 seconds left, Brad. Tell me this thing. When it comes to the actual issues at hand, how often is it that it's purely emotional and then the couples are just angry and hateful rather than actual real concrete reasons why they want to fight over an issue?
I'd say that's maybe a third of the time. In a lot of those cases, they settle down, take a deep breath, the dust settles, and we never see them again. They reconcile, and the case gets dismissed, and they came in all hot and heavy and paid a retainer and then thought about it and get on with their lives. Or a lot of times it might be a new girlfriend or a new boyfriend that's kind of pushing the spouse to do something that they don't really want to do, or sometimes it's a lawyer that's got them all charged up.
I see. Well, certainly a lot of dynamics and a lot of emotions involved. Divorce attorney Brad Friedman, find him online, MeyerandFriedman.com. Brad, thanks so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
Hey, no problem.
Well, that's it. We're wrapping it up. By we, I mean me, Brad, my guests, everyone that was on the show today. I'm actually in the studio alone today. Interesting experience, and I'll say this too, 1 year anniversary of the program. That's it. Otherwise, we're back Monday, 6 p.m. Join us then. Have a good night.